Hey guys, what up? It's your host, Ryan Sketch. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to briefly explain something. I'm probably going to be doing a lot more episodes in the coming days. I have a couple people I've been talking to get them on the show, but I think things are looking really good for this podcast. So just a shout out to everyone who's been following this. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this. I don't know how often you guys listen to my episodes, but keep tuning in. Keep showing your support. I appreciate it. You know, if you feel generous and you want to throw me, you know, like a monthly sponsorship of like 50 cents or a dollar, that'd be awesome. And you can cancel it whenever you want. No obligation. Just keep listening to this jargon and I'll appreciate it nevertheless. So again, thank you and get ready for the episode because this is a pretty good one, especially for those people who love shoes. Hey, what up, everybody? It's your host, Ryan Sketch, here with Sketchbook Audio. Hey, today's going to be a pretty awesome show. We're going to switch gears from cars, and we're going to talk a little bit about shoes, mostly because I was just in New York City and got to go to the Nike lab headquarters thing downtown New York across from St. Patrick's Cathedral, which that's a whole nother topic in and of itself that I will get into at some point because architecture just does something to me. And kind of like this song, it's an uplifting song. It's by Lifehouse. It actually has Natasha Bedingfield in it too. And basically it's sort of like a homage to country music and its place in the pop culture. Though Lifehouse is not a country band, neither is Natasha Bedingfield. It's a really cool collaboration, and we are going to talk about other collaborations here today that I'm really excited about. So that's Between the Raindrops with Lifehouse, and I hope you guys like it if you, you know, get a chance to listen to it. I'm actually, this is a funny story, I'm actually working on a choreograph of that song for mine and my fiance's wedding. She doesn't really know it yet. She has no idea. First of all, she doesn't even know how to dance. So this could be problematic or very, very entertaining for everybody but me. No, the dance is coming along really well. I actually used to dance a lot and pretty well back in the day. My sister and my cousins were both really, really good dancers. Both of them did jazz, hip hop, a little bit of tap. I eventually just kind of wanted to do more like hip hop and pop and lock it. I actually did crunk in college. It was like a b-boy group, and we did a little bit of that as well as obviously the breakdancing aspects of it. But I kind of just lost track of it because you need a studio, and the only studio that was free was my parents' basement. So and what I mean by that is they no, I did not live in my parents' basement, but they had a dance studio for my sister created, and it was really cool. So yeah, that dance is on its way, and I hope she enjoys it. I just gotta teach her how to dance. So the one thing I wanted to talk about kind of real quick, just a quick glimpse into architecture, and it's really not about the architecture itself, other than the fact that it's such a beautiful cathedral. It's probably one of my top 10 favorite architectural pieces, period. And it's right downtown New York. And the great thing about it is its juxtaposition against what is technically normalcy for New York. And that's large, large buildings, skyscrapers, specifically the Trump Tower, which is nay a block up the street. And of course, the Nike store, which is right across the street. And you have all these more modern or simplistic buildings, but then right smack dab in the middle of it all is this, I'm not going to say tiny, but in comparison to everything else, it's tiny. You have this tiny cathedral that was built, I don't even freaking know, St. Patrick's Cathedral. I'm typing really slow right now, so bear with me. That place was... well, it's a neo-Gothic style Roman Catholic cathedral, and it looks like it was built or at least opened May 29th, 1879. So we're actually coming up on a bit of an anniversary for them in the next month here. So, but there's something so special about it. And maybe it's the fact that it's like looking at night and day compared to all the other buildings, or like I said, the juxtaposition of it being this ancient Gothic style cathedral next to all these modern tall skyscrapers. But it's very beautiful. So if you've never been, please definitely take some time and go see it. Go online, I guess, if you're that lazy or incapable of getting to New York City. I just made however long that trip was. It was from Detroit all the way over to New York City. I did it for that sketch battle last week. And that's one of my all-time favorite places in New York City to stop and take a look at. Now, interestingly enough, while we were there, me and my friend, we were driving to the cathedral, and he pulls up on his phone. He's like, "Yo, dude, check this out. Man arrested with gas cans and lighters at St. Patrick's Cathedral." He was a philosophy teacher, and apparently his excuse was, "I was just getting gas for my car." Now, I don't show you, you know, there's some pictures, but they don't tell you exactly all the things that he had, you know, right in the headline. But dude had lighters, he had lighter fluid, and then he had two-gallon jugs of gasoline that you would use to fill up your car. Dude was about to do some serious damage to that cathedral. And, you know, what, a day later, Sri Lanka got hit. It's mind-blowing that churches are no longer sanctuary anymore. And that's horrific because not only are we losing churches, historically relevant churches, and just beautiful pieces of architecture, we're also losing and this wasn't an act of terrorism, but the Notre Dame, that is in not complete ruins, but we're definitely a ways away from that thing getting repaired. Kudos though, and big shout out to all the millionaires and billionaires who got like $500 million or $600 million together to help support the rebuild of that. Now, there's one thing I wanted to mention about that. They projected that it would probably cost, I think, $6 billion to repair that. That's fine. I mean, it sucks. It's a lot of money. But here's my thing. If you just had six billionaires each donate $1 billion, or 12 billionaires each donate $500 million, it'd be a done deal. I mean, shit, you could crowdfund that with GoFundMe or something else in a matter of a couple days. If each billionaire would just step up and notice that it's not just, don't forget the religion behind it. Forget, you know, the history of like why it was built and stuff. First of all, the Hunchback of Notre Dame would not exist if we didn't have the cathedral. So that's something pretty awesome. That's a great story. And, you know, that's just something that's part of pretty much everybody's history. But it's the fact that that architectural structure is so freaking gorgeous. And it's been around for centuries. Fix the damn thing and stop worrying about your money. Just do something good for once. I don't know. It just pissed me off. If I was a billionaire, I wouldn't even blink twice. I'd have the damn thing funded and move along my way. Sounds like a charger. No, actually, that was that Supra that lives across the street. There's a guy across the street from me. He's got a black Supra in mint condition, and it's... He flies down the street at the worst times doing that, so you can hear it wherever. But sometimes I just wake up, and I'm like, nah, it doesn't bother me. It's still a Supra. I love it. So, anywho, what I really wanted to get into today is shoes, and a specific collaboration that I've just been informed about. And I was doing some reading about it, and I got really excited because it's one of those things where, again, collaboration does so much good, and it's awesome. Whether it's two different types of things like cars and fashion, or makeup and movie aesthetics, I don't know. Just when you collab on things like this, it makes for great things. And in this case, my buddy was wearing these shoes called, I don't even know what they're called. It's like the Acronym and Nike collaborations, like the Nike Lunar Force collection from 2015, or the Nike Air Presto mid collection from 2016, or the Nike Air Force One Downtown collection from 2017. I mean, the list goes on. Basically, this guy and the founder of Acronym, Errolson Hugh, he's a Canadian that joined forces with Nike in 2014. And the goal was to rejuvenate and reinvent Nike and what they were doing. Nike had, obviously, you know, it's known for its place in sports. And people buy Nike Air Force Ones and pretty much any Nike shoe that has anything to do with a famous athlete, they buy them up and they're worth tons and tons of money. In fact, I actually bought, well, scratch that. The order was canceled on me. Lo and behold, I was pretty upset about it, but I got those, or almost got those Nike, the ones that were like right out of Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. And I had a pair, and then they didn't have a pair, and I got really upset, and I was trying to figure out how to buy them again, and I'm looking these things up. They were going for like $800, and I was only about to pay $150. So, yeah. But it looks like Nike, you know, just didn't have any flair. It didn't have anything that was really attracting other people other than sports, and they wanted to turn Nike into something more than really what it was standing for in the first place, which was sports. So you get these fresh, funky designs, and then on top of that, you get new technology thrown into shoes, or like older technology used in a totally different way. My buddy had the Nike Air Presto mid collection. One of them was like black, white, and gray, and the Acronym logo was written all over it in white on a black backdrop, and they were pretty sweet. But then I saw these Nike Air Prestos with, I think it's called like lava and some other colors, and my mind was blown, and I was open up to a whole new world of shoes. The one thing I really like about this shoe is it has shoelaces, but the key thing holding you in is the zipper on the side, and there's actually a lock to the zipper. I'm not going to go into the details on how it all works, but needless to say, I'm going to post this up on the Sketchbook Audio Instagram page. It's a really cool series of shoes, and reading more about this, it was really just a way to push Nike's color schemes, the colorway as they called it, and really drive some much needed energy back into shoes. Of course, they still have the all white shoes. Those are, you know, really big hits with Nike. And then they have ones that are just ridiculously crazy with their colors. And one of the color schemes or colorways that I'm noticing that's getting really popular are these 90s pop color schemes. The one, it's called the Nike Air Presto. It's the 2018 version. It looks like it's straight out of Saved by the Bell, and not the TV show per se, but the intro, you know, where it's like, when I wake up in the morning and my mom is on the morning, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. Dun, dun. It's like those colored triangles and sorry, that was horrendous. The color pops that are popping up everywhere, and it's almost like static. This is straight out of the 90s, and I love it. And I bought a pair not too long ago from a Nike outlet, and they're very similar. They don't have as much color. The shoelaces are like a pale neon blue, and then the Nike logo is this hot lava, as they call it, or it's basically pink. And then there's some the shoe is mostly gray, but it's a super lightweight material, and they're ridiculously comfortable. But I love that retro silhouette that they have going on. He's got a lot that aren't quite as retro, but one of the things that is really being driven, like I said earlier, was the technology. And now they have these Flyknit shoes where it's super lightweight, it's very comfortable, and they're moisture wicking in a way, and they're just mind blowing. The coolest thing I saw though at the Nike store was the 3D printed shoe. Now, I don't know exactly what was 3D printed on the shoe. I'm going to go ahead and assume that it was the top portion and not the sole. The sole was just a foam that had really nice carvings in it. It looked very organic, but the shoe itself was kind of like the Flyknit, but it was almost like a basket weave. And the cool thing was it didn't feel like it was going to break apart, and no more than any other normal shoe would if you just tried stretching it and ripping it. This thing felt durable, and apparently they made the shoe for a famous runner in the Olympics, and he wore it in the one I was holding was the one he wore, or one half of the ones he wore. So Nike's definitely got some attitude in their shoes, and I really like it. Puma's definitely kind of doing things very similar, where they're introducing a lot of bright colors again and just going off the wall. They had some shoes that look like they weren't even shoes anymore. But the bubble forms in the bottom and the sole, they were just different. And it made shoes, to me anyways, I'm not a big shoe collector, but to me it made the shoes more desirable as pieces of art than just a shoe. And I actually have a couple pair that I won't even wear because they're just that gorgeous. In fact, I have, and this was on an old episode, I have a pair of Pumas that they did. Puma has a collaboration with, or partnerships with Ferrari, BMW, and, I'm drawing a blank on the other ones. Oh, Mercedes AMG. And the one pair that I have is, it's like a metallic silver, and the bottoms are black and white, but the rest of the shoe is like a metallic silver. And they were a collaboration with BMW for the sole purpose, and no pun intended on the sole, but for the sole purpose of sort of mirroring the Gina Light concept that BMW came out, which essentially was a BMW Z4 from that year, reskinned in a way where there was no sheet metal on the outside. It was all fabric. The fabric was super durable. It was like flame retardant. It was flexible. And then the substructure underneath it and the overall monocoque of the car itself was very safe and very durable. But what it allowed you to do was open the doors in a totally different way. Instead of just swinging out on hinges, they opened up and flexed the skin, so to speak. And it looked insectual. Like, and I don't mean incest jewel, I mean insect-like. It was very organic and natural. And then the headlights, I'm sure many of you remember the headlights that used to flip up and flip down. They got rid of those pretty much because of NHTSA and the Department of Transportation. But it was a safety thing, you know. What if one doesn't come up and then you just have a whole problem? Whereas it's super easy to just change a light bulb now, versus having to worry about the whole mechanics and motors involved in flipping up your headlights. So, anyways, I digress. The headlights on the Gina Light concept would squint and open up and squint and almost become non-existent when the lights were off. And it didn't require all of the mechanics that the flip-up headlights had. It was much different. And the big thing was we can change the way cars are made and viewed. And I was thinking, yes, the whole car itself, the Gina Light concept, is just a gray. It's fairly dull. But what if you threw in all these other different colorways and these beautiful color schemes? What if you were allowed to... Or if you were able to offer the consumer the ability to custom make a lot of the things. Nike, Puma, Adidas, they're all offering these sort of one-of-one treatments where you can pick like 8 different parts of the shoe. You can choose a select amount of colors. And I actually made a pair of shoes myself using, two of them. I did Nike and then I did Adidas. But I made one that was very Spider-Man-esque, so just using his red and blue theme. And then on another one, I did an Iron Man themed, so it was very red, fire engine red, like a yellow, and then kind of blacks, dark grays. But then on the side of it, I had imprinted Iron Man. So I love what shoes are capable of doing now. They're not just something you slip on your feet and, you know, wear for the sole purpose of it being comfortable or it being, it fits the mood, as in, you know, a business attire type shoe versus a running shoe versus a soccer cleat, so on and so forth. They are able to do so much more with color. Oh, and color fades that they weren't able to do way before. Different fabric blends. Like you can go from a foam almost instantly and seamlessly into this fly knit weave. It's just really cool what they do. Even the suede shoes, like for instance, the Adidas Spezial. The leather bands that make up the Adidas logo, they go into the rubber sole. I don't know how, but it's really freaking cool, and I love it. I actually also watched another video recently. They were talking about how shoes are made, and that's a real mind-blowing trip. If you ever want to not blow a lot of time and get nothing out of it, but if you really want to learn something, definitely check out how shoes are made. If I can find the video that I watched, I will post that on, or at least a link to it, on the Instagram page. But in the meantime, I'm just going to post a bunch of pictures of shoes that I found very interesting, ones I took myself, as well as ones I found on the internet. And I think you guys will be really excited about shoes. I know when I went to, I forget what store it was, but it was just like a shoe store, not Champs, might have been Champs, I don't remember, but it was a store that had all different kind of brands, and they had these superhero inspired shoes, and one of them had what essentially was webbing like Spider-Man, and it was like a plastic, very flexible, almost rubber type plastic that kind of engulfed the fabric that was underneath, which essentially was the fly knit. And then the bottom, the sole, had sort of springs in them. Just really cool. I'll have to find them and see if I can post them on the page, but definitely a cool shoe. And that's really what got me into absorbing the shoe life and being more motivated to test different, you know, different skills. I love drawing cars, and now I'm back to drawing monsters again. But shoes are fun, and they're hard to do because, you can just stick with the same underlay, but you need to be able to advance it, and that is a real big trial. So I might start doing some sketches of some shoes. I know I've been doing motorcycles as well, and that's been difficult because you got to draw all the inner workings of a motorcycle. But with a shoe, you also have to think about, how is it being tied? Is it a new, fresh way that it's being tied or tightened? Actually, those Puma shoes I was talking about, they don't have shoelaces. They have this dial in the center that has two strings coming out of it, and they wrap around the back of the shoe, and they wrap kind of around the front. And as you turn the shoe, it tightens it. And then you push the button, and it spins it back, and it releases it. Really cool way of tying up a shoe. And now I actually see that a lot on snowboard boots. So, you know, thinking of real quick ways to get shoes on and off while still using shoelaces so you can adjust it for your foot specifically. You know, because sometimes some slip-ons, they slip off, right? And they don't always fit the mode you're trying to be in. So having that dial allows you to, you know, I have to worry about the shoelaces and tying things and them falling all over the place, but just quickly getting it to the, you know, the tightness that you want for whatever purpose you're doing. I think we should see that more often. And I have a funny feeling we will. Actually, that was also something that was in Back to the Future. And we saw Marty McFly had shoes that were self-tying. Nike actually brought those shoes out. The first time was just a dial. And that lets you tie the shoe yourself without actually having to, tie laces. It was this ratcheting system. But then they came out with one that was motorized, and it tied itself. Not quite as scientific and sci-fi as the Marty McFly ones from Back to the Future, but still really badass. The last thing I want to talk about, because we're coming up on 24 minutes here. I'm not a huge fan of Buick. And we're going to switch over to cars again, but I'm not a huge fan of Buick. And the reason is there's two. One, they're pretty much just knockoffs of Opel. But now that Opel no longer is partnered with GM and it's owned by Peugeot PSA and Citroën, Buick is kind of left in the dust in a way, but it's not all doom and gloom. But the two reasons why I don't like Buick is, one, they tend to be more old people-esque and very feminine. The other reason, of course, is because they are pretty much just what Opel had already made several years before, and then they just rebadge it here in the States as a Buick. Now, that doesn't go necessarily for like the Enclave or the Envision. Those are both vehicles that, the Envision's made in China. It was made for China, and then they brought it over here in the States. But the Enclave is made specifically here for the United States. There's two vehicles coming out, and they're basically the same vehicle, but there's two that are coming out, and it's basically the replacement for the Encore. And the Encore is a tiny little, it's like a mini soccer mom's car, and it's cute. It's fun. I actually don't mind it. I really like it. I like the Opel version of it better, but I do like it. And I also like the Opel Atom, which is, you know, never came over here to the States as a Buick, but would have been kind of cool. But the Buick Encore GX and the Encore GX is basically a stretched version of what we have, totally restyled and on a different frame and everything. But I like it. It's definitely better looking than the Envision. The Envision was a beautiful car in concept form, but once they dumbed it down for production, it got dumb. The Encore was meant to inject a little bit of sportiness into the crossover segment, much like the Regal GS did for its sedan segment. And then, of course, the Avenir, however you pronounce that, that was meant to really boost the luxury image of Buick. And it's worked. They're getting better. The Avenir series are beautiful works of art. I wish they brought that coupe Avenir out, but, you know, wishful thinking. But this Buick Encore, I just learned this, the Encore and the Encore GX. The Encore GX is kind of like the boring, mundane one, which is probably the one we're going to get here in the States. But the Encore that they're getting in China is a really sporty looking, two-toned, kind of badass looking thing. The upswing to this is we're getting the Chevy version of it, which will be called the Trailblazer. And the Trax, it's the updated Trax. So not all is lost, but I really liked the Buick one, specifically because the one that they show is orange with a high gloss black side seal treatment with a roof that's gloss black, as well as the wheel well arches and the front grille. I'll post the two pictures that are actually in existence of the vehicle on Instagram, but let me know what you think, because if that's what Buick intends to bring over to the States, I'm okay with that. Furthermore, and I'll post the Chevy versions as well, if that's what Chevy's future looks like, I'm all for it. It's really cool because I love the Blazer. Yeah, the back seat is a little bit too plasticky and it just kind of all the coolness is up front, which I'm never going to really be in the back seat, but I would like my back area to be just as nice as the front, so to speak, I guess. Again, wishful thinking. But my problem with the Blazer is it's too heavy. And while the engine is peppy, it's not peppy enough. A turbocharged V6 would have been fantastic. Or a twin turbo four cylinder would have been great. But I heard that the thing drives amazingly. They basically took the Traverse and shrunk it, but kept its width. And its height got dropped a little bit. Plus, it's very raked in the back, so it's not straight back like the Traverses. So it handles very, very well. A very low center of gravity, a very split, evenly weight balance, and then the differentials that are in it are tuned very well. So I'm pretty excited to actually test drive one of those. But as I said, I'm excited to see what these other little cars are going to look like. And of course, I'm not all for all these crossovers, but if that's what I'm going to be subjected to for the rest of my life, then so be it. So thanks for tuning in, guys. We're coming up on 30 minutes here, and Anchor likes to kick me off at 30 minutes unless I do segment by segment. And yeah, I didn't do that today. So thanks for tuning in. I'm actually going to have a lot more time in the near future for doing these podcasts, so stay with me. Thank you for being a part of this show. Get your sketchbooks out and start drawing. I'm going to post some of the pictures that I've been drawing over the past couple days. I think you would like them. And I want to see what you guys have been drawing. So tag me in your posts or send me an image, whatever. And of course, as always, be good to one another. Life is too short to be dicks to everyone. And if you've watched Team America, we all know what dicks and assholes are. So peace out. Thanks for tuning into Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Till next time.